Well, brethren, God tells us through His Word that He expects us to grow in His way of life and to become spiritually mature. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 5, if you would, and we'll jump right in here. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 48 is a familiar scripture. It lays out an overall goal that we're all to be striving for. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, Jesus Christ says here, we'll just jump into this thought. He says, "Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." Now, the word perfect here is Strong's number 5046, teleios, T-E-L-E-I-O-S, and it means complete. Growing into something that is perfect and needs no more work means that we're not there yet, but it is something that we're working towards. You know, it's also translated elsewhere in Scripture as spiritually mature. Actually, it's translated as mature. But the best phrase I believe we can use to aptly describe this is spiritually mature, spiritual maturity. You know, in our Christian lives, we are on a goal, on our journey to achieve that goal of spiritual maturity. Now, we begin the teleios process when we're born into God's family at baptism, and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's where it starts. And all of us who have gone through this process were at one time spiritual babes. But God doesn't expect us to stay babes, right? He expects us to be growing up in the spiritual sense. And the Bible uses the terms milk and meat as teaching tools in helping us to achieve teleios. Now, if you were asked, how would you explain the difference between milk and meat? What's the difference? Well, I believe that both are necessary to achieve spiritual maturity. And so today I want to go through the Scriptures and want to see if we can develop a better understanding of the milk and the meat of the Word. And I believe that we'll be able to tie the milk and meat of God's Word in with His desire for us to achieve teleios. So the title of the message today is Milk and Meat, God's Balanced Diet. Milk and Meat, God's Balanced Diet. Now, there are a lot of analogies that we can draw comparing the physical maturation process to the spiritual one. You know, all of us at one time were inside our mother's womb. In the baby stage, you know, after we were born, we were babies. And in the baby stage, each of us was completely reliant on our parents to sustain us, with our main source of nourishment being milk. And as we grew from babyhood into childhood, and some of our teeth came in, you know, eventually we started being able to take in some soft foods, you know, some applesauce and cereal and fruit, things like that. And eventually, when all of our baby teeth came in and we could chew, then we started to be able to slowly ingest more solid food, you know, more meat, some meat. You know, God really is the master designer. He knew that when we grew out of babyhood and became more active, that we would need more than just milk to sustain us as we grow into childhood and eventually grow to be healthy, thriving adults. However, the solid food that we get as adults, it doesn't replace the milk. It adds to it. Our spiritual growth also occurs in stages, from babyhood to adulthood. You know, when we were new believers, or spiritual babes, we started out with the spiritual milk of God's Word. It provided us with the nourishment that we needed to be able to grow in those beginning stages. But over the course of time, as we grow in understanding, we need to add spiritual meat to our diet. We need both milk and meat to become spiritually mature, to become teleios. So let's talk about each one of those specifically now, and we'll start with the milk. You know, the word milk is used only 5 times in the New Testament. It's used a few dozen times in the Old Testament, but there it's referring to milk solely as a drink. And one of those five New Testament examples also refers to milk this way, but the other four use the word milk in the spiritual sense. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 13, contains two of those uses. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 5. In Hebrews 5, we see the differences in maturity level between milk and meat. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 12. I'm going to be reading from the New King James most of the time, but I'm also going to read some from the King James Version, and I may even throw in another translation or two into the mix. But we're going to start out in the King James, Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 12. It says, "For when, for the time, you ought to be teachers." The author of Hebrews is not talking to spiritual babes here, but to those who should have already grown to the point where they were teachers of God's word, maturing Christians. And we need to be progressing ourselves from simply letting ourselves be fed milk to becoming teachers of God's word. This doesn't necessarily mean standing up here and teaching the word. It means being teachers of God's word in whatever aspects of life that we encounter, be it work, our family. Whenever the opportunity presents itself, we need to be ready, to be teachers. "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." In verse 13, "For everyone who uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." If we're still in the babyhood stage, then it's okay to be sustaining ourselves on milk. But as we grow and we learn, we need to add to our diet and take in more than just milk, because a growing Christian requires stronger nutrition. In verse 14, it says, "But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So we see here that strong meat is for those who are maturing. We'll talk a little bit more on meat later on. So the first principles of the oracles of God are akin to milk here in verse 12. Now let me give you an illustration. Now most of us who are first-generation Christians walked into the church on what? Well, on doctrine, right? Now, I realize there's always exceptions, but most of the time when someone new walks into our midst, it's because they've noticed that our doctrines are very different from those outside of us, different from most other churches. Maybe they learned that we keep the seventh-day Sabbath, or that maybe they learned that Jesus wasn't really born on December 25th, and they're looking. And they wonder, what else have I been doing that's unbiblical, that's not right? People often come into the church having searched for which church teaches the correct doctrines. God had to open our minds to understand the importance of keeping all His commandments. And once we understood, remember, we responded by changing the way that we lived. And for most of us, this represented our spiritual babyhood, the beginning of our spiritual journey. Now, understanding the basic doctrines of the Bible is milk. Learning that the Sabbath is on the seventh day, determining when the holy days are and observing them, knowing that God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit are not a Trinity, tithing, repentance, and eventually baptism. These basic doctrines became the milk that we craved as spiritual infants. That first love that we sought to develop to please our Heavenly Father and to learn how He wanted us to live. And it was really exciting for us to be able to discover and to learn these new truths. that we didn't know were there. And when our family members looked on us as newborn Christians, were they so impressed because we had grown in love and they could see a dramatic change in our attitude? Well, in the beginning, most of them were likely put off because we were suddenly keeping days that they weren't, or we had stopped keeping days that we had always kept. We had beliefs that they didn't have. And often we were vocal about it, right? Maybe a little too vocal. As spiritual babes, when we were learning these new truths, we were ingesting the milk of the Word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, milk is described both physically and spiritually as something that we start out with. You know, baby is provided nutrition by being given milk. And spiritually speaking, the milk of the Word is the basic doctrines that we start out learning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to read this from the New King James. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll begin in verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. The Apostle Paul's writing here, and he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food." And by the way, if you happen to be reading from the King James Version, the translation for solid food is trophy, T-R-O-P-H-E. And in the King James, it's translated as meat. And in the New King James, it's always translated as solid food. So, you know, there's that distinction there. "And I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For now, until now, you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able." Why? Why couldn't they receive the meat, the solid food? Was it because they couldn't understand the Sabbath and the holy days? Well, no. Verse number 3, it says, "For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I'm of Paul,' and another, 'I'm of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" You know, the Corinthians here were not ready for solid food. They had not grown beyond a simple obedience to the commandments. They didn't address the envy and the divisions that they had among themselves. I'm not going to read any more here, but the rest of the chapter goes on to describe how they were looking primarily to men and aligning themselves with certain ministers and not to Christ. And people too often still do this in the Church of God community today. And that would be an example of an adult being spiritually immature. You know, the opposite of strife, envy, and divisions is contentedness, goodwill, unity. If we're able to be moving towards those areas of spiritual maturity, then we will be able to handle the solid food that God has for us. You know, 1 Peter chapter 2 is the other New Testament example of the word milk. And here it's also used as a spiritual analogy and not as a physical drink. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to read this from the New Living Translation. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. It says, "So get rid of all malicious behavior and deceit. Don't just pretend to be good. Be done with hypocrisy and jealousy and backstabbing. You must crave pure spiritual milk so that you can grow into the fullness of your salvation. Cry out for this nourishment as a baby cries for milk, now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness." So Peter is telling the brethren here that they still needed milk in order to be able to grow. And especially for those who are new to the truth, those who are just learning the basic doctrines of the church, there needs to be that craving for the pure milk. You know, I think at times some have tended to minimize the milk of the Word because they thought the milk represented something else, you know, something that we're to be moving out of and leaving behind and no longer a part of our diet. Well, even as an adult, I still have a cup of milk each night with my dinner. You know, I got milk. You remember that, those of you who are old enough remember that advertising campaign in the 90s which said, you know, it was got milk? It came about to promote the consumption of milk, which had been declining for many years. Milk still has benefits for us, even as adults, as it gives the body a certain amount of nourishment and growth that it needs. But if that's all we have for dinner each night, if all we have is our cup of milk, then, you know, we're going to be pretty limited in our growth, and we're going to likely start feeling weak. Now, spiritually speaking, each of us needs to continue to desire the pure milk of the Word, just as we read. We can't do away with that altogether. Otherwise, the heresy that rocked God's church in the early to mid-90s could happen again. You know, to me, what happened in the 1990s was an attack on the milk of the Word. And for those of you who weren't around back then, many of us sitting here today were probably members of the Worldwide Church of God back then. And beginning in the early 1990s, and even before that in a little bit, there was a slow push from the top to erode away the doctrines of the church. And it started very subtly at first, and eventually grew and came, escalated to the point where in December 1994, the pastor general stood up and said, the Sabbath, the holy days, clean and unclean meats, those are no longer required for Christians. Over the next several weeks and months that followed, the church administration went even further by telling members that many aspects of God's law were done away, nailed to the cross along with Jesus. And because a number of brethren hadn't been continually craving the pure spiritual milk of the Word, many of them believed what was being said, and they stopped keeping God's laws. What many of us experienced in 1995 should only emphasize how important it is that we continue to desire the milk of the Word. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 tells us that preaching sound doctrine is critical. Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 5, here from the New King James. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 17. 1 Timothy 5 verse 17, it says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. And then turn forward a couple of pages, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 4 here. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, it says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And we need to be laboring in the Scripture and in doctrine. We need to continue feeding ourselves milk. We need to have sermons on both the milk and the meat of the Word, being careful that we don't exclude one or the other. Now, I've heard people describe a much needy and effective sermon as meaty, but in my opinion, it was actually the milk of the Word. And other times, I've seen brethren to react to what I considered was a meaty sermon, and they said, well, you know, we got fed milk today, and it would be said in a you know, derogative sense almost. And if we ever think that, then we could be in danger of losing sound doctrine. You know, most of you had probably read United's Fundamentals of Beliefs booklet. You know, the 20 beliefs in this booklet are the foundation. They are the starting point of our journey to the kingdom and beyond. Let me read to you part of what's written here in the preface of the booklet. It says here, we consider the teaching of these beliefs to be critical to building on the right foundation of a proper reverence for God's Word, especially as revealed in Jesus Christ. Let me read to you the 20 beliefs that are in this booklet right here that are considered the fundamental beliefs. We have God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, Satan the devil, humanity, God's law and sin, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, 3 days and three nights, repentance and faith, water baptism and the laying on of hands, the Sabbath day, the Passover, the festivals of God, God's food laws, military service and war, promises to Abraham, God's purpose for mankind, the church, tithing, the resurrections and eternal judgment, and Jesus Christ's return and coming reign. Now that's all 20 of them. Now let me ask you this. If we have full understanding of all 20 of these fundamental beliefs, is that enough to achieve teleos? Is that all we need to achieve spiritual maturity? Will they by themselves get us into God's kingdom? A strong belief that these 20 would probably have been enough to have gotten us through 1995. But were they enough to get people beyond the divisions that have occurred since then? And are they enough to get us beyond the trials and the afflictions that we may face again one day in the future? We'll get into that a little bit more later on. But brethren, we do need milk in order to grow. That's what we start out with. And then throughout our lives, it continues to provide us much needed nourishment. We must never forget our fundamental beliefs. We must continue to internalize sound doctrine and be ready to teach it to others. We should never minimize the milk of the Word. But as time goes by, and we grow spiritually, we need to add to what we just read in Hebrews 5, the first principles of the oracles of God. We need to add to these fundamentals of beliefs. We need to supplement the milk of the Word and delve into meatier things, the more complex and deeper aspects of God's way of life. Just like a baby goes from milk to solids, we need to have God's balanced diet. So this brings us now to the meat. Now, looking at the word meat, there are 57 references to meat in the King James Version of the New Testament, and only 3 in the New King James, and we've already mentioned why that's the case. Most of those references to meat in the New Testament refer to the food itself. But there are a few verses that refer to meat specifically in a spiritual application. Hebrews chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 are a couple that we've already read. What is the meat of the Word? Well, I believe that the meat of the Word is how we discern and apply the Word of God in our Christian lives. Again, I believe the meat of the Word is the discernment and application of the Word of God in our lives. Now, I'd like to briefly quote from an excellent article in the March 2000 United News titled, "What is Strong Meat?" And I really encourage you to read this article as a follow-up to this message. Again, it was in the March 2000 United News, "What is Strong Meat?" And I'm just going to quote here a little bit. It says, "Therefore, while basic doctrinal explanation and exposition," and in parentheses in the article it says milk, "is needed for building the Christian's foundation of knowledge and understanding, the instruction and encouragement to overcome personal sin and spiritual weakness, meat, is very necessary because it stimulates essential spiritual growth and maturity in the individual," end quote. You know, the difference between milk and meat is significant. It's what separates those who simply come to church each week because they feel like it's commanded to those who actually come to church because they want to learn, those who want to learn and to grow. From those who want to obey the commandments because they have to those who obey the commandments because they want to. You know, it's one thing to take a 24-hour period of time and just simply do no work on it and rest. But to actually keep the Sabbath day spiritually in the way God intends, it involves actively preparing for the day, being ready for the Sabbath when sundown comes, not doing our pleasure on His holy day, as it says in Isaiah 58. You know, that's meat. That's what moves us along towards spiritual maturity. You know, we don't fast just to go without food and water. Those moving towards perfection don't stuff themselves with food and water 1 minute before sundown so that they can have the reserves enough to make it until sundown the next night. I did that as a kid. You know, my kids have done that. And that's okay because they're spiritual babes. But what our attitude should be as we approach a fast, keeping the true purpose of the fast with our humbly afflicting our souls to God, you know, realizing and understanding the true purpose of why we're fasting, you know, that's the meat of the word. That's strong meat. You notice how there's people that you'll see that come to Passover, you don't see the rest of the year. The Passover is a commanded assembly, but discerning and applying the meaning of the day, having that attitude of self-examination, of repentance, of changing ourselves, of molding ourselves to do the will of God and Jesus Christ, that's spiritually maturing. And all of the holy days have their deeper spiritual meaning to them as well. You know, it's more than just knowing when they are and keeping the days. Remember what we read in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, talking about the meat of the word? It said in verse 14, it said, "But strong meat belongs to them who are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." You know, the word meat involves an active discernment, something that has to be exercised and used often. You know, just as our bodies, our physical bodies, need ongoing exercise to continue to grow and to develop, otherwise we'll atrophy, this exercising of the mind is what develops spiritual maturity in us that we need. The spiritually mature Christian has trained and has as much as possible that Christ-like discernment in the application of the milk. Let's go to John chapter 6. You know, we often talk about Jesus Christ being the bread of life, but He also refers to Himself as meat. John chapter 6. I'm going to read this from the King James. John chapter 6, verses 26 and 27. John 6, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him has God the Father sealed." In other words, we need to look to Jesus Christ for spiritual meat, not for the physical meat that perishes. And then dropping down, verse number 53, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Verse 55, "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eats me, even he shall live by me." And so Jesus Christ talks about Himself as meat. This means that we're to spiritually be eating off of Him, We're to be like him. We're to ingest him. We're to take on his qualities in our life to the point where we, start just a little to measure up to that stature of his fullness. Turn back a page or two here to John chapter 4. What is the meat of Jesus Christ? John 4, verse 34. Jesus says unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then comes harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already white. They're white already to harvest. And so the meat is all about going beyond simple knowledge and understanding of the Word of God to living that Word, to doing the will of God in Jesus Christ. Taking action, doing his work, which involves working with ourselves and working with other people. The fields out there that are pure white represent spiritual babes that are ready to be harvested. Those of us who are further along the path of spiritual maturity need to be looking to help harvest those who are coming along behind. We need to be teaching them both the milk and the meat of the Word. Our teens and our preteens are part of those who are coming along behind us. We all have a responsibility to be teaching them of God's Word, both milk and the meat. In a way, you teens, preteens, have a head start over those of us who are called as adults. Because you have a precious opportunity now to learn what God's will is for your lives. What God wants you to be doing. I hope all of you will take advantage of that, because if you aren't at this point, then there will come a time one day when you will regret it. So again, the meat of the Word is the discernment and the application of the Word of God in our lives. Well, next, let's discuss what God is looking for in a teleos person and how the milk and meat of the Word tie in with this. Is God simply looking for someone with perfect knowledge and obedience to his laws and his commandments? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13. And we refer to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as the love chapter. And it gives us some very good points on how we can keep ourselves along the path of spiritual maturity. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation as well. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 1. It says, if I could speak in any language in heaven or on earth, but didn't love others, I would only be making meaningless noise, like a loud gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I knew all the mysteries of the future, and knew everything about everything, but didn't love others, what good would I be? There are people who think that prophetic speculation is the meat of the Word. If I could know exactly who the beast is and exactly what day Jesus Christ will come back to the earth or when the abomination of desolation will start and who the king of the north and the king of the south is, if I knew all these things but didn't practice love for others, it says here that I would be nothing. Verse 2, if I had the gift of faith so that I could speak to a mountain and make it move, without love I would be no good to anybody. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would be of no value whatsoever. The next few verses go on to describe what true love is. Verse 4, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record of when it has been wronged. You know, having true love, the way it's described here, is a lot more difficult than physically resting for 24 hours. True love like this requires an active discernment. It's something that we have to be continually putting first and foremost in our minds. We have to have it in our minds to be exercising and to be doing. It requires thought and planning. It does not come naturally. Verse number 6, is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful. It endures through every circumstance. Love will last forever, but prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will all disappear. Now we know only a little, and even the gift of prophecy reveals little. But when the end comes, you know, when teleos comes, when we get to that point of perfection, the point of spiritual maturity, these special gifts, it says, will all disappear. So when it's all said and done, having knowledge is not enough. Knowing the doctrines of the church is not enough. It's how we discern and apply the things that we have learned that transforms us from childhood into spiritual adults. It's how we live our lives and treat others that endures forever. We can and we must have knowledge. But if we stop there, then we're missing the mark. To grow into spiritual maturity, we must be putting away childish things. Verse 11, it's like this. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child does. Now, how many of us over and over tried to reason with and convert our family members when we were first called? That's reasoning as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly as in a poor mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me now. There are three things that will endure: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Well, it's definitely much easier said than done, isn't it? Right? Of course, we can't just look at individual scriptures and passages alone and think, well, that's all we need. This is it. Just have love. That's all we need. We need to look at many scriptures to help us to understand what solid food that we need to be taking on spiritually. 2 Timothy chapter 3 makes this point. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, consider the progression here. We have the importance of all scripture, followed by how it benefits us. For doctrine, milk, first, and then followed by character development statements. Notice here, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, the milk of the word, and then the meat, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we need correction and instruction in righteousness as part of God's balanced diet plan for us. Next, let's consider the qualification of those ordained. When people are considered for ordination, is it their doctrinal purity that's looked at? Well, 1 Timothy chapter 3 is one of the places that talks about what to consider when looking for people to ordain. As we read this, notice that these are things that we should all be striving for. All of us should be doing these things. But let's note specifically what is mentioned, what is not mentioned. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop, then, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetousness. You know, these are a lot of meaty qualities, aren't they? You know, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. How come it doesn't say that you have to keep the Sabbath to be ordained? Doesn't mention anything about tithing to the church or any of the fundamentals of beliefs. That's because those things are so obviously needed that they aren't even worth mentioning. That's milk for spiritual babes. Instead, the meatier things listed here are more difficult to do, aren't they? They are the steps that usually come after obedience to the laws and the commandments. They are the issues of our character. Doing these things mean that we are taking on Jesus Christ. Remember, he's the solid food that we're to be taking in, that we're to be feeding on. What about the fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians chapter 5? I'm not going to turn there, but it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is not keeping the holy days or knowing what God's law and sin is. You know, before we were baptized, hopefully we proved these fundamentals of beliefs to ourselves. But once we were baptized and we received the Holy Spirit, then we must go on to develop and to bear the fruit of that Spirit. Strong spiritual meat or solid food does not consist of intriguing and sometimes questionable new ideas and prophetic speculation, but rather of becoming skilled in righteousness by continually using one's mind to help with the help of God's Spirit to discern and choose between right and wrong. Let me read that again. That's kind of a mouthful. Strong spiritual meat or solid food does not consist of intriguing and sometimes questionable new ideas and prophetic speculation, but rather of becoming skilled in righteousness by continually using one's mind with the help of God's Spirit to discern and to choose between right and wrong. It really makes sense, doesn't it? Revelation chapter 21 contains a wonderful promise from God. I want to look at here. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 7. Revelation 21 and verse 7. Says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Overcoming our spiritual weaknesses is essential for us to one day be a part of the God family. You know, even in the Old Testament, we see the direction being given towards spiritual maturity. In Isaiah chapter, let's go to Isaiah chapter 66. We're going to go through a few scriptures quickly here, and we'll let God's word speak to us. Isaiah chapter 66, verse number 2, the last part of the verse. Isaiah 66, verse 2, it says, "But on this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word." You know, one who has an awe and a respect for God, for what God reveals through his word, that's the person who will catch God's eye. In Micah chapter 6, over here in Micah, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6, verse number 8. Familiar passage here. Micah 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You know, these are the character traits of a spiritually maturing person. You know, justice and mercy are also tied together in Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. I'm going to read this again from the New Living Translation. Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 23. Matthew 23, verse 23, where it says, "How terrible it will be for you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest part of your income, but you ignore the important things of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but you should not leave undone the more important things. The milk of the word should not be left undone, but our lives should be a progression from there into the more mature, more meatier areas. We do need to continue tithing. You need to continue keeping the Sabbath, keeping the commandments of God. We need to continue doing those things, but if we don't learn how to exercise and grow, how to grow our faith in God, how to exercise mercy and justice towards others, then we're stuck. We're stuck in spiritual infancy. We don't do those things. The Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5 through 7 is a prime example of moving from milk to meat in our spiritual maturation process. Now, Christ starts out here by saying that he didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, to demonstrate for us how to obey the laws and the commandments in their fullest extent. We mature from simply not murdering by going on to not even being angry with someone without a cause. You know, if you look at a woman to lust after her, it's the same as committing adultery. Instead of loving your neighbor and hating your enemy, now we're to love our enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you, spitefully use you. And you can read on if you want, but you'll notice the progression along the spiritual continuum, going from milk to meat. Historically, in the modern era of the church, we've used the expression receiving meat in due season. You know, biblically, if you look at that term, it's used four times in the King James Version. And all four accounts refer to someone who's in charge. Sometimes it's God, sometimes a man. And he provides for those that he serves just what they need at the time that they need it. Let's turn to one such occurrence, Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Talking about receiving meat in due season. Luke chapter 12, I'll read this from the King James. Luke 12, verse 42. Luke 12, verse 42, "And the Lord said, 'Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing.'" So the Lord, the Lord gave his servant the things he needed so that when he returned from being gone, he would see the servant still doing, still laboring away. In the church today, we've accurately borrowed this phrase to use it for giving relative messages at needed times. This includes around during the whole, before, after, around the holy day season, when we're giving messages not just about keeping the holy days, but their deeper meanings about how our attitudes should be when keeping them. or when an event in the world happens, you know, be it a big newsworthy happening, or around the holiday time, or around an important anniversary, you know, whatever the event may be, the speaker should provide relevant material during those times. And why? So that we can sit back and know exactly what is happening in the world and notice prophecy being fulfilled before our eyes? Is that why we should be receiving meat in due season? Not exactly. As verse 43 states, the meat in due season is to keep us all focused so that when our Lord returns, he shall find us so doing. To keep us along the path of becoming spiritually mature. I believe United is on its way to providing the brethren with God's balanced diet of milk and meat of the Word. In the past, I'm not sure that the Church of God as a whole has had a balanced diet. And we've made a valiant effort for many years to preach the gospel to the world. But what about preparing a people? This is an important part of our mission. Yet we've not nearly done so well at making disciples and at keeping them remaining faithful to God's way of life. God's church has seen many divisions over the years, including the attack of heresy that I mentioned that took place and culminated in 1995. But what about the divisions that have happened since? If we had all been growing spiritually mature with a balanced diet of milk and meat, would those things have happened? Only God knows for sure, but I do have my opinion. I'm not going to get all bogged down because it's history now, but I think I feel safe in saying that if everyone had taken on Christ in a fuller way and thereby exercised the meaty principles of love, peace, unity, humility, forgiveness, patience, many others, if everyone on all sides had been doing these things, then I don't believe the splits that have happened since United has been formed would have happened. God hates division. He hates it. And dwelling unity is good and it's pleasant to him. It's what he wants. You remember what we read in 1 Corinthians 3 where Paul said he couldn't give the church there meat, solid food. They could only take the milk because of their carnality, their envy, and their divisions among them. Well, I wonder sometimes if God views the greater Church of God community in this way today. Regarding the milk of the Word, regarding doctrine, we're mostly in agreement, right? There are very few differences. Some of these church groups really place a very heavy emphasis on doctrinal teachings. However, regarding the meat of the Word, the things that should guide us towards becoming spiritually mature, that's where I believe we see big differences. Not in what we read, because God's Word doesn't change, but in the discernment and application of it. And I think all Church of God organizations would be quick to agree that we should love one another, that we should have judgment, mercy, and faith. But how we apply that and how we treat one another both within and outside our faith is where people really see spiritual maturity or immaturity, as it may be. And we read in Hebrews 5 about exercising our senses to discern good and evil. 1 Timothy chapter 4 also refers to exercising ourselves towards godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Read verses 6 through 8 here. 1 Timothy 4, verse 6. If you instruct the brethren in these things, You will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. So again, we have both milk and meat concepts being referred to here. Verse 7, but reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself towards godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having a promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. You know, the exercise, the discernment, the application of ourselves towards godliness, that's the next stage of development following spiritual infancy. Let's go back now to Hebrews 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Let's read again here the very last verse of the chapter. And this time we'll read it in the New King James. And then we'll continue from there on into chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 14, where it says, but solid food, or meat, belongs to those who are of full age, teleos. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, there's so much that's said here in verse 14, we don't have time to go into great detail, but the very next verses go on to give some specific examples of the differences between milk and meat. We'll read this again from the New King James. In my New King James, the heading above Hebrews 6 says, the peril of not progressing. The peril of not progressing. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, the elementary principles. Elementary means beginning. So there are beginning principles of Christ that we have to start out with, but we progress from there. As it says, let us go on to perfection. Perfection. Teleotes. Teleotes, a variation of teleos, describing spiritual maturity. Verse 2, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. You know, these are things that we learned when we were first called, the milk of the word. Obviously, this list is not all encompassing. There's a lot more that can be added to it. But let me read these two verses again in Hebrews 6 from the New Living Translation, because the distinction here between the milk and the meat is a lot more clear to me. Hebrews 6, verse 1, New Living Translation, says, so let us stop going over the basics of Christianity again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature, teleotes, in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start all over again with the importance of turning away from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. You don't need further instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. So we see here what's referred to as elementary principles, the things that the foundation of our spiritual temple is built on. And no matter how big the building gets, we cannot throw away the foundation. If we're missing either the milk or the meat, either one, then we won't make it into God's kingdom. We must have God's balanced diet. You know, brethren, we really have no excuse to have an unbalanced diet during the times in which we live. I don't know if we can truly appreciate how blessed we are to have the abundance of material and information out there for us to spiritual food that's available to us. Obviously, we must be studying our Bibles. That's the most important thing. And there's so many different translations that are available to us to help us to understand some of the more difficult wording, perhaps, in the King James and New King James. Of course, we have to be very careful when studying other translations. But just as in a multitude of counselors, there's safety, I like to think that in a multitude of translations, there's safety as well. But there are also different types of Bible commentaries and many Bible helps that are available to us for free online or can be purchased. You know, eSword is a really good one. We could take advantage of the UCG members' website. You know, there's a plethora of sermons that can be downloaded and listened to, booklets and articles and papers and so much that's out there. ABC classes and radio and TV programs. You know, if you learn better by hearing more of the spoken word, there's that out there. If you learn better by reading and studying articles, there's that available as well. We're so blessed in that there's so much food that's available for us to gather out there to help us in our nutrition. Of course, even more important than these things is the access to the spiritual milk and meat that we have through the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. If all we had was this, if all we had was the Bible, then it would be enough. And we need to be asking and seeking and knocking so that we can have more of God's Holy Spirit working with us. You know, becoming spiritually mature is hard. It's very hard. It's difficult. It's easier, in a sense, to read about Christmas and the Sabbath and the holy days. And we can go through and we can prove these things to ourselves and we can accept them. Once we've crossed that hurdle, and we don't have to cross it again. You know? Sure, we need to review, reprove things to ourselves from time to time as to why we do what we do. But for the most part, we've learned those things and we've gone beyond that. However, the meaty areas of God's Word take longer to process. A lifetime of active discernment. A lifetime of exercising our senses. It doesn't stop after a period of time. Again, the meat of the Word is the discernment and the application of God's Word in our Christian lives. And if we're not careful in the way that we apply the meat, then we can digress back into spiritual babyhood. And even then, if we aren't continually studying and reproving things to ourselves, even then, the milk could dry up. Let's conclude in Ephesians chapter 4. This section of Ephesians 4 describes how God gives different spiritual gifts in the body. But for what purpose? What should be the end result? Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, teleos, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The perfect man, teleos. Going on from here, we'll see the continuing results of both a Christian and a church who has taken on a lifetime of milk and meat. I'm going to read these next few verses from the New Living Translation because I believe it eloquently describes a spiritually mature Christian. Ephesians 4, verse 14. Then we will no longer be like children, forever changing our minds about what we believe because someone has told us something different or because someone has cleverly lied to us and made the lie sound like the truth. Instead, we will hold to the truth in love, becoming more and more in every way like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Brethren, let's make sure that spiritually we got milk and meat, God's balanced diet, so that we can continue to progress towards spiritual maturity. and becoming teleos, just like our Father in heaven, who is also teleos.